Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be continuing a message that we began last time on Habakkuk 2:4, dealing with the subject of sanctification. Today's sermon is Living by Faith.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Leviticus 18, which is what Jesus referenced when he was asked in the temple court by the lawyer, what is the great commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4. And he added to it Leviticus 6:18, which is like unto it, which says this, to paraphrase. Now, make this checklist for you in your behavior in our church, with our church body. Be charitable, but don't create charity cases. Don't steal. Don't deceive. Pay your debts. Be generous. Don't exploit the poor or weak. Be just. Don't be a respecter of persons just because somebody's rich. Don't gossip. Don't spread rumors or participate in character assassination. Don't plot evil or go along with an evil plot against someone. Don't bear a grudge. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We ought to have that copied and put on our shaving mirrors. Hopefully you women aren't shaving, but as you're combing your hair in the morning, you need to see it as well. Folks, the just shall live by faith. This is living by faith. Consider Paul's admonition to the churches. Colossians 3. To the church, do you want to live by faith? Okay, here it is. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Folks, this is living by faith. Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This is living by faith. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. This is living by faith. How shall I conduct myself? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is that right there? That's the Word of God. So Christians, oh, I've been saved, I'm justified. Oh, I want to live by faith. Okay, here it is. Is it obvious to those around you that you are living by faith? And by the way, isn't this good? And isn't it simple? Oh, Lord, please reveal to me what your will is in my life. How about this? Quit gossiping. How about this? Don't hold a grudge. How about this? When you say you've forgotten somebody, then don't bring it up again. And when you irritate somebody, we talked about this just a few weeks ago, but the reality is we've got to think about these things. You know, folks, you are going to irritate me at times, I promise you. And I'm going to irritate you. I'm probably irritating you right now. You irritate your spouses. You irritate your kids. Your kids irritate you. Your representative's going to irritate you sometimes. Your constituents are going to irritate you. So how do you respond? Hold a grudge? Yep. Gossip? Yep. That's what we do. It's not what we're supposed to do. When somebody has grieved you, go and talk to them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to live by faith. Okay, somebody's irritated you. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Go talk to them. And by the way, if you're a Christian and they're a professing Christian, you both are supposed to be humble, I believe, and tender-hearted and forgiving, aren't you? So when I go to you and say, Brother Mike, until you don't know this the other day, but I bet you, but you really hurt my feelings the other day. Well, Mike's not supposed to go, put him up. Oh, I did I? Well, how dare you call that to my attention? No. Living by faith, tender-hearted, humble, responsibility. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I had. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. Humble. Lowliness, tender-hearted, forgiving. Will you forgive me, Brother Paul? Now, if I truly am a Christian, yes, absolutely, Brother Mike. I'm so glad. Brother, love you. Everything's good. And then I walk out the door and, you know what Brother Mike just did? Well, I asked him to forgive me, but I didn't really mean it. Is that not how we behave? 3 weeks later, we still bring it up. Well, you know, Mike did this to me. No, no, no. If you forgave him, it's gone. And by the way, a quick cure-all for Christian living is Matthew 7. Before you go pull the splinter out of your friend's eye, first make sure you pull the 2x4 out of yours. And if we all lived with that, you know how easy it would be to go to church here? Because we wouldn't be worrying about each other. We'd begin the Bible every day saying, Lord, reveal the things in me that I need to get straight. And then the Holy Spirit's bringing them to my attention. The Holy Spirit's convicting them. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm getting these logs out of my own eye. And all of a sudden, you don't have anything to complain about because I'm trying to walk with Jesus. And Jesus is correcting me day by day. And I don't have anything to complain about you either because you're trying to walk with Jesus. And Jesus is correcting you day by day. Wow, on a blackboard, doesn't this work well? You know what the problem is? The problem is we all have eye trouble. Too often, I get in the way of things. Folks, this is practical living by faith. Simple living by faith. Self-control, self-government. Number two, let's consider work. Living by faith. You know, America's greatest generation was one that learned that responsibility, and they learned hard work, and they recognized that getting things were not a divine right. You had to work hard and sacrifice in order to succeed. And they knew that failure was still a grade in school because failure was still a possibility in life. That was the greatest generation. But my generation and the one following haven't been taught that truth. We've been deceived to thinking that ease is good. The American dream is retirement. Folks, we dread Mondays and live for the weekends. Whoever came up with the TGIF idea? Why not TGIM? I'm just asking. I mean, I'm just as guilty as anybody. We all do this, but think about it biblically. Exodus 20 says this, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, and in it thou shalt do no rest. God worked for 6 days, did he not? Rested on the seventh. Likewise, as the created of God, we are to work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. And by the way, God has given us instruction for everything, really. I mean, there's very little that we're involved with in our lives that isn't addressed in some form in the Bible. And everything we do as believers, we're to be doing to the glory of God. Now, consider the subject of work, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with all of your heart and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Wow. Did you ever stop and think about it, that the way we work is a form of worship? Do we treat it that way? I want to live by faith. Okay, folks, here's some truths. Here's how you do it. So should we be grumbling about the boss? Nope. You know, we live in a free country, thankfully, at least for a while yet. If you don't like your job, find another one. Should we only work hard when the boss is watching? No. The Bible says that the Lord's always watching, and you're working to please Him. How we work is a form of worship. How we work is a form of serving God. It's a testimony of the God that lives within us, whom we profess to serve. We're to work as unto the Lord. That is living by faith. Now, folks, it doesn't tell us what job to do. Now, that's up to you. What God has designed you for, what you have interest in, as long as it's something that brings glory to God. So if you said, Pastor, I've got an opportunity to go drive a beer truck, I'd say, nope, don't think so. That's not going to bring glory to God. I can get a job as a bartender. Nope. That's not glory. But if it's something that would not cause a hindrance to your testimony, then do it as unto the Lord. And work as unto the Lord. Living by faith. Point three, what about marriage? Oh, if only the Bible told us something about marriage, then maybe our Christian marriages wouldn't be such a mess. Isn't the creation story wonderful? I use it every time I do a marriage service, marriage ceremony, and I just love it. I love the testimony that God makes. Here we get down here on day six. God has literally spoken everything into existence, and it is. God spoke the cattle, and they were both male and female. There. Just all of them together. That's my native tongue, in case you didn't know. But when it came to man, it says that God began with the man, the male. It said that he formed him out of the dust of the earth, created him in the image and likeness of God, entrusted him with dominion over what he had created, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a living soul, then paused and said, it's not good that a man should be alone. And then, rather than creating another dust pile or just speaking the woman into existence, he put Adam to sleep, the first anesthetic, took a rib out from his side, not a bone from his foot so he could walk all over his wife, or a bone from his head so she could lord over him, but a rib up close to his heart and under his arm so she could be protected. And from that rib, God created his completer. In fact, without her, he was missing something, wasn't he? With her, he was restored to wholeness, wasn't he? Then God preached the sermon, what I've joined together, let not man put asunder. Folks, that's the home. You know how it's supposed to work? The husband's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Men, it begins with us. If we do our job, the women, if they are believers, won't have any problems submitting to your God-endowed authority. And men, you are not called to be kings of your castle. You're not lords of the manor. You have been entrusted with the leadership of your home. So your wife, your kids are going to follow your leading, and ultimately you're going to give account for how you led your family. That's the importance of the job you have. And then together, as a husband loves his wife and a wife loves her husband and submits to his leadership. And by the way, I've shared this with you before. I've been married for almost 26 years. There's never been a time in my life where I put my hand down and said, woman, this is the way it's going to be. It's never happened. We've done it right. My wife will always yield to my decisions. No, I'm serious. But there's never an important, let me say this, here's why. There's never an important decision that we'll make that I don't go to her for counsel. Okay, you get it, guys? Honey, we've got this situation here. Now, here's the pros, here's the cons. Let's pray about it. And by the way, you husbands and wives, if you don't start your days in devotion, if you don't pray together, you're off on the wrong foot right away. Got quiet in here. Bible talks about everything. You know, the Bible even talks about the role of sexuality. Why are we having this discussion as a country? It's craziness. And why isn't the church defending marriage? You know, God didn't accidentally make us as sexual beings. God intentionally made us the way we were and made us different. Wasn't that God made Adam and made Eve and then, oh, what did I do? God made us as he did. He made the intimacy a pleasurable event to be held sacred within the boundaries of marriage, period. You want to know What defines a home? Jesus said in Matthew 19, have you not read? He that made the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. That's a home. You know where sexuality fits in? Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. That same word undefiled is used to describe Jesus a couple of chapters earlier in Hebrews. Holiness. The intimacy between a man and his wife is holiness unto the Lord. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Wow, the Bible does speak about everything, doesn't it? Young people, you're looking to get married? You want to live by faith? You cannot marry an unbeliever. I don't like you, Pastor. Okay. I didn't say it. You cannot be unequally yoked. Oh, but he's gorgeous. Is he a Christian? If he's not a Christian, don't marry him. Oh, but I'll change him. If you're going to live by faith, you just have to move on. But see, most of the time, most Christians ignore God and then pray for a miracle when their home is a disaster and they're facing divorce. You know what, folks? That is tempting God. That is testing God. Why are you continuing to pray for God to rescue you out of your situations that you have misbehaved yourselves into? And by the way, we are going to make mistakes. And it is okay to ask God to rescue us out of situations that we behave ourselves into. Because every now and then we're going to do something stupid. But we're not supposed to live there. Oh, this girl I'm dating, she's a Christian. Well, that's good. Is she a committed Christian? Well, she goes to church. Well, that's an easy one. Does she gossip? Does she criticize her family to you? Or does she criticize your family? Boy, I'm so glad I've got a rear exit up here. I really am. Is she gentle? Is she kind? Is she generous? Is she hardworking? Does she emulate that Proverbs 31 woman? And by the way, you couples, very first thing I do when I counsel a couple for marriage is they have to read Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover and then come to me with their budget. Oh, we're just going to live on love. Yeah. Yeah, try that at Walmart Market. Yeah, that'll be $142. I love her. Okay, great. Still $142. Go down to the city of Edmond. Sir, your bill's overdue. But I love her. Well, you're going to be loving her in the dark. You better open your windows. It's going to get hot in there with that air conditioning. But I don't care how handsome he is or how beautiful she is. You better take a look and see if they're hardworking and honest. Second Thessalonians 10, verse 3. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that, look what happens when they are non-workers. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now with them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat the fruit of their own labors. And again, don't count on changing anyone. The only one that can change is the Holy Spirit changing you. Ladies, if you think you're going to change somebody, never going to happen. Men, if you think you're going to change her, never going to happen. And by the way, you guys better have the understanding as you come together. You know, the world has changed, and we think for the better. Not so much. I like air conditioning. I like indoor plumbing, like everything else. But as we have progressed when it comes to definitions of the family or morality, all we've done is made a mess out of things. You know, the reality is there are, because of the way the world is today, I know that there's a lot of families that both people have to get out and work. I know that. And I'm not lecturing you or I'm not rebuking you at all. But that may be the circumstances you are in. And if that's the case, just roll up your sleeves and do the very best you can. But you know how God designed this? God designed it. In fact, it says biblically, the husband's supposed to take care of the family. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those in his own house, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. And the wife is supposed to be in charge of taking care of the house. Look at Titus 2:3-5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teacher of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. They may not be politically correct in this day and age, but that's the Bible. And let me tell you, if you're both out there working 60 hours a week, you're both going to come home exhausted. And you're going to both look at each other and say, where's dinner? That's a tough situation. That may be where you're, you may not have a choice. That may be where you're at, but that's a tough situation. You know, when you work together and complement, as the Bible instructs, it does work better, ladies and gentlemen. It's amazing that God's ways are better than our ways. Living by faith, let's talk about child rearing. We're going to wrap this up. There's a couple things. Are you enjoying the practicality of the message? Living by faith. Oh, what's the will of God? Much of God's will is not mysterious. It's in black and white. If we would actually just take it and apply it. Child rearing. Here's the key, gentlemen. Train them up in the way they should go. Not lecture them up. Show them. They will listen with their eyes far more than they will with their ears. I did a funeral 2 or 3 weeks ago. One of the children had given me this in our conversation, and I shared it during the funeral. I thought it was wonderful because it was dead on. She said this, I learned what integrity was by watching my dad. I learned what honesty was by watching my dad. I learned what generosity was by watching my dad. I learned what it meant to be a Christian by watching my dad. Well done. That's how it's supposed to be done. You train them up, not lecture them up. And discipline them. Folks, I was never a big fan. My kids will tell you stories. The worst thing in the world for a kid was not the spanking, it was the pre-lecture spanking. The lecture to the spanking. And I got to tell you, I did not have to spank my kids very often. I tell you what, men, don't ever touch your kid. If with these hands you also don't love your kids and play ball with your kids, then don't ever take these hands and belt your kids. It's got to be the same hands, because these hands that love are also the hands that love in this fashion. Say, well, I don't believe in spanking. Well, then it's okay. You're disagreeing with the Bible. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. There's a reason why we have all this extra cushy back here. No bones back there. It's a great safe place to get someone's attention. I never wanted to ground the kids. That was an inconvenience to me. If they were grounded for a week, then you know they weren't able to drive. You know, that was me. I'd stay on with them. Hey, good spanking, 10 minutes, we had it dealt with. And as I told you, the thing they hated the worst was the lecture. We'd go back to my bedroom, and we'd have the peacemaker. You remember the peacemaker? That was one of my belts. I had about an inch and a half inch thick belt. Now, son, you know why I've got to do this. God has entrusted me to raise you and this, and here's what you did wrong, and you understand why I've got to do this. And then spanking time, and then let them cry for a little while, and then I'd come back in the room, I'd pick them up on my lap and go over it again. Now, you understood why I had to do that. And I loved them and hugged on them, and it was over with. I mean, it was over with. I mean, 5 minutes later, we're playing ball in the backyard or something. I mean, we're moving on, but you love them enough discipline. And then also, love them enough to let them struggle. You know, that's how we mature. If you go pick them up every time they fall down, they're never going to learn to get to pick themselves back up. And then, of course, biblically, we're supposed to provide for their needs. That's something that moms and dads are supposed to do. And then last thing I wanted to touch on, I'll just be brief here, economics, because this is where we have a tendency of getting into real problems all the time. Quite frankly, not listening to God's will in marriage and not listening to God's will in economics is where we profess to live by faith, but we don't. And then we're begging God to bail us out of, you know, $15,000 of credit card debt, and we're 2 months behind in our mortgage. Well, first of all, what's it say as far as economics? One, we're supposed to work as unto the Lord. Are you working? Well, I've got a job putting in 20 hours. Great, put in 60. Work as unto the Lord. Number two, save. You know, it's amazing. The Bible almost humorously says even ants have enough sense to work hard and store up for winter. Now, aren't you as smart as an ant? Budget. Luke 14:28. The Bible says, which you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. What's that teaching? It's teaching to budget. Folks, you cannot spend more than you have. You cannot build more than you can afford. You cannot buy more than you can afford. Yet how often do we do that? And then we're blaming God for a financial situation or begging God to rescue us out of it. Think about this. What is living by faith? We just had a Dave Ramsey course. It's great. Free of charge. Well, no, it wasn't free of charge. I think we charged a little bit for it, but you could have come free if you needed to. You know, how many of you, well, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many people here have some spending issues that didn't come to the Dave Ramsey course. What's the deal? You know, they say that, in fact, Ramsey said, if you don't budget, you wonder where your money went. And if you do budget, you tell it where to go. Now think about that. That's really some good wisdom. Be charitable as Christians. Part of the reasons we earn is to take care of the economy of God. It is our responsibility to visit the fatherless and the widows. And you notice as we did this study on James recently, it identifies certain groups that cannot ever repay you that you're reaching out to help. There's no personal reason for you doing this other than just an unconditional act of sacrificial love for others. And then don't be laden with debt. Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor and the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Folks, don't become enslaved to debt. That's common sense. So if you're there and you didn't go through the course, come and talk to us. We'll help work with you on that. But the point is this. This is living by faith. This is living by faith. Living by faith is not, I'm going to disobey the word of God and I'm going to do whatever I think is right and whatever I want to do and then I'm going to get on my knees and pray that God bails me out of this disaster. That is not living by faith. In fact, that's faithlessness, to be honest with you. That's tempting God. What's the Bible say? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What's the Bible say? The just shall live by faith. How now shall we live? As followers of Jesus Christ, shouldn't we live in obedience to the Word of God? We are saved by trusting in His Word, and we are to live lives by trusting in His Word.
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.